he's on today. Good morning, church. Father God, I pray that you would help me to speak clearly. Help us to listen to what you might be saying to us through this story in Isaiah. Lord, and help us to prepare in our hearts for Christmas as we remember that you came to earth to live among us. Amen. Amen. So we're going in Isaiah 7, verses 1 to 14. And just to recap the story, sometimes when you read the prophets or the history books and there's a lot of names, you can kind of go, what's going on? So I'll just try and summarize what we just read. Pekah, the king of Israel, and Rezin, the king of Aram, or Syria, have joined forces. Now, Pekah is Israel. Pekah, that's like the good people, God's people. But they've joined forces with Syria against Jerusalem, against Judah. The kingdom of Israel is split in two. And so this small section of God's people in Jerusalem are surrounded. And in Jerusalem, Ahaz is king. So you've got two forces. One's like a brother of Judah, and one is another nation. And they've joined forces against Jerusalem. And it's causing, it says in verse 2, the hearts of King Ahaz to shake. And not just King Ahaz, but the hearts of the people who live in Jerusalem. Their hearts are shaking. It says, they shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind, which is quite a picture, isn't it? And into this situation, Isaiah is sent. And he says in verse 4, be careful, be quiet, do not fear, do not let your hearts be faint. And he goes on in verse 7, it will not come to pass. Don't worry. It will not come to pass. It shall not stand. Isn't it just the case we've probably experienced it in our own lives when we go through storms, we go through chaos, that's when God speaks to us. Think of Elijah when he's dealing with depression and suicide and God speaks to him in silence. We think of the disciples on the boat in the storm and Jesus comes and speaks to them walking on the water. The apostles in prison, Jesus speaks to them. Abraham, when Lot has left him, God speaks. It's in the storms often that we hear God speak to us. Do not be afraid. Do not let your heart be faint. Be careful. Be quiet. It will not come to pass. Such a merciful message, isn't it? Such a gracious message for God to give his people. And then in verse 10, Isaiah goes on, it's like, ask for a sign. Ask God for a sign. Don't just take my word for it. Ask God for a sign. Ahaz says, I'm not going to put God to the test. I don't need a sign. Isaiah responds, is it too little that you've wearied men? Are you going to try and weary my God as well? God himself will give you a sign. And the virgin will give birth to a son, and they will call that son Emmanuel. And that's kind of where we're at. Ahaz, who's got this awful situation in front of him, his heart is shaking, is receiving a message from God, don't worry, there is a sign for you to look to. And I want to ask you this morning, is your heart shaking? Maybe you look at the world around and your heart shakes, and you look at the stuff going on in Ukraine and Russia, and I think I read in the news some more missiles are being sent, and maybe your heart shakes. Maybe look at Israel, Palestine, and your heart shakes. Maybe you look at the climate. I've heard the talks are breaking down. What's going on? Maybe your heart shakes over that, or recession. Maybe your heart doesn't shake about those kinds of things. Maybe it's closer to home. Maybe it's your work, and things are just building up. Pressure's building up. Maybe you feel too busy. Maybe you're feeling with loneliness, health, family, all these issues. We probably don't have to look too far in our hearts to find reasons that our hearts might shake. Maybe it's spiritual. Maybe you're just stuck in sin and you're like, how will I ever get free of this pattern? Maybe you're worried about eternal life and you're thinking about what happens when I die. If your heart's not shaking this morning, don't worry. I don't want to obligate you to feeling scared. That's not what God wants in this passage. But if you are, I hope that this will bring you some courage and some direction. And if you're not, we can prepare our hearts by listening to God's words. So when times are difficult, when you're surrounded, when you feel betrayed, where do you look? Where do you get your confidence? Where do you get your sense of peace? Where do you get your assurance and your courage to face the day? Where do you look? And maybe the most immediate place we look is in our circumstances. That's where Ahaz is looking. He's looking at what's in front of him, and it's dire. His friends, his enemies have joined forces against him. If we look to our circumstances, when they're dire, they're not going to give us the hope and the assurance we need. But the thing is, we get used to looking at our circumstances to telling us how well we're doing in life, don't we? If life's going well, we think we've got it all sorted, nothing to worry about. Our circumstances change, don't they? We could be good one day and bad the next. We can feel fine in our body and then see a doctor and they tell us actually there's something really wrong. Circumstances change. We shouldn't be looking to our circumstances to give us the confidence that we want, that we need. Good things happen to bad people, don't they? It's common sense. Bad things happen to good people. Jesus said it rains on the good and the evil. The sun shines on the just and on the unjust. But Ahab was told, don't look at your circumstances. And we'll see that later. Don't look at those for your sign. Don't look at there. Maybe you look at other people around you or powers and people, politicians, and you get a sense of security and comfort from them. Ahaz was looking at Assyria. In 2 Kings, there's a parallel story to this, and it's like from a historical point of view, and this is the prophetic. And Ahaz looks to Syria and he's like, help me from these enemies that have surrounded me. And he tries to bribe them and win them over. Maybe they'll rescue me. It's not bad to look for people for support and help and confidence, but we can take it too far, can't we? We can make people our saviors. We can idolize them, and that's what he does. He takes the temple gold and he gives it to Assyria and says, help me. Gives the gold that's for God to save him. It could be very unhealthy when we put other people in our position to rescue us, to give us confidence. Because they let us down, don't they? Our friends let us down, like Ephraim let Ahaz down. Our family let us down. Political leaders let us down. Don't know where you sit in terms of American politics or British politics, but some people put a lot of hope in their political leaders, don't they, to save them. Maybe we put our hope in church leaders. How does that work out for us? Let's not look to people for our comfort, for our security, for our sense of peace. God challenges Ahaz's reliance on Assyria. In verse 20, he goes on about how the Lord will take a razor to Assyria and shave all the hair off. Don't trust in people. And maybe finally we might look at our behavior and how we act. Ahaz says, when Isaiah says to him, he's like, ask God for a sign. He's like, I'm not going to put the Lord to the test. He's like, probably thinking of Deuteronomy where it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. He's probably thinking, if I do something righteous, then maybe it will all work out for me. But it doesn't, does it? Like we said, bad things happen to good people. God invites us to look to him in the chaos, in the confusion, in the storms, in the attack, when our hearts are tempted to shake and to fear. God invites us to look to him. Verse 11. Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Look to him. Ask for a sign from him. Verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look to the sign that God is going to give you. And looking to God does not mean minimizing or pretending that the attack isn't happening, that circumstances are all fine and everything's hunky-dory. And that's not what God does. He kind of elaborates on the problem in, I think it's verse 4 to 6. He's like, don't worry because Assyria and Ephraim, the son of Remaliah, have devised evil, saying, let's go up to Jerusalem and terrify it and let us conquer it. And he gives a bit more information because they want to set up Tabeel, the king, in the midst of it. God knows the situation. He doesn't minimize it. And looking to God isn't pretending everything's okay. That's not what it means to look to God, is just ignore it all and pretend everything's fine. It means looking to God for the sign. What does it mean to look to God then? Looking to God means realizing that his purposes will stand. Verse 7 to 6, thus says the Lord, 7 to 9, it shall not stand and it shall not come to pass, for the head of Syria is Damascus and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years, Ephraim will be shattered from being a people. Their purposes won't stand. God's will. We can take a lot of confidence and comfort in the fact that God's purposes ultimately will stand. Promise after promise in the Bible is that God's purposes will stand. All things work together for the good of those who love him. His promises will stand. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. His plans will stand. Later on in Isaiah 46, it says, I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. I have spoken, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed, and I will do it. When we look to God, we realize that his purposes will stand. When we look to God, we can see a covenant-keeping God of grace. God is faithful to us even when we're not faithful. Ahaz was not a good king. We looked at how he gave the gold to Assyria to try and rescue him instead of turning to God. But Ahaz also burned his own son in idolatry to a false god. God's speaking to him and saying, I'm going to give you a sign. This person who killed his son? How gracious is God that he would do that? And even when Ahaz says, I'm not going to put the Lord to the test, maybe it was a show of righteousness, maybe it was trying to hide his unbelief, like, I don't want to see a sign. I'll try and do this on my own, thanks. Even to that king, God says, I myself will give you a sign. God deals with Ahaz according to his covenant that he made with David. It says in verse 13, hear then, O house of David. He's not dealing with Ahaz according to how Ahaz has behaved. He's dealing with him according to David. And I think we can relate probably that maybe we've not burned our own children yet, but we have sinned, haven't we? We've all fallen short. We've all made mistakes. We all deserve not this love, not this grace, not this kindness from God. We deserve wrath. It says the wages of sin is death. We've all sinned. That's what we're due. But God doesn't deal with us according to how what we deserve, does he? He deals with us according to the covenant he's made with Jesus, which is where we're going. When we look to God as a sign, we realize he deals with us as a covenant-keeping God of grace. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. How good is that? I think that's good. When we look to God instead of other people, instead of ourselves, instead of the circumstances, good or bad, we can see that Jesus is God's sign. And I know we're leading up to Christmas and we're like, Jesus is, he crushes the snake's head. Jesus is God's sign. Jesus is where we can look. Ask for a sign. What's the sign? The virgin will give birth to a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is God's presence sign in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the attacks, whether they're coming from friends or enemies or both. Jesus is with us. And he's not a distant mechanical sign like you see on the motorway that, slow down, he's there with us. He's in the moment. It's a personal sign. Hebrews says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet did not sin. Let us then, with confidence, go before the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and grace in our times of need. Jesus walked this earth, sent from God, a perfect life. He knows what it is to go through hardships. He knows what it is to go through betrayals. Ephraim betrayed Ahaz, didn't he? And Judah betrayed Jesus. Jesus knows what it's like to be under attack, to be falsely accused, to be under, it feels like the hammer. He is there with us, and he knows what it is to experience these things. He was one who walked with us, who wept with us, who cried, whose heart was troubled, whose friends betrayed him. We can look to a God who sympathizes with us, who was with us. It's interesting to me, reading this and preparing, that Ahaz burned his son. And God says to Isaiah, go with your son. He says, go and meet Ahaz, you and Shear Jashub, your son. Take your son. And by the way, Ahaz, I'm going to give my son. What a gracious God that he would deal with King Ahaz that way. And if he dealt with Ahaz, how can he deal with us? Jesus said in John 6:40, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. If your heart is shaking because of anything going on, maybe God is inviting you to look to Jesus as the sign. Look to him. The circumstances might not change. They might get worse. They probably will. That's what Jesus says. Anyone who follows me will face trials. He who looks on the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. My heart's shaking, but there's eternal life if I look at the sign. My heart's shaking because this person's turned against me, because I'm overwhelmed at work, because I don't know where I'm going in life. I look to Christ. I have eternal life. It's not escapism. It's not pretending that the problem isn't bad. It's saying God's purposes will stand. It will come to pass. Will we look to Jesus, the sign? Or will we ignore it and carry on looking at other people and our circumstances and our own behavior and try and muddle through? What will we do? Pray that we would look to Christ. Amen.